Blessed be your holy name, our Lord, our God, our great God of heaven. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for today. You are merciful to all of us. So, Lord, we thank you that we all receive thy grace and mercy today, O Lord. Lord, we thank you that you put thy word in all of us, which is living, working effectively to wash us away from our own flesh and carnal mind. O Lord, as we stand here in thy presence, may you wash us. May you purify our heart. May you give us a clean and new heart, that we may receive thy voice, that we may receive thy word, thy instructions, the knowledge and wisdom, the true life. Lord, here we are, O Lord. We surrender ourselves, O Lord, everything, O Lord, we surrender into thy presence, O Lord. May you touch us, may you speak to our hearts, may you cut to our hearts with thy double-edged sword. O Lord, separate us, O Lord, from this world, so that we may live in thy presence forever, O Lord. For we are all born servants of Christ, and we are all here to be called to live a life worthy of thy calling, to be the prisoners of our Christ for the rest of our life, O Lord. Lord, may you keep us in thy sanctuary. May you hold us with thy mighty hand. May you shield us with thy presence. May you speak to us with thy living word. O Lord, we surrender our church, our heart, our mind, our soul as one congregation, one family of God, one body of Christ. O Lord, may you do a work in us. Speak to our hearts that we may know that every day is a blessed gift from you for us to live a life to glorify thy mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. And thank you, Lord, for the praise and worship. And thank you, Lord, that you are in the midst of us, that you will speak to our hearts. As we are walking with you humbly in this journey of perfection, O Lord, may you help us to be humble, sincere, and to understand the reality that we are nothing without you, O Lord. May you take complete control of us. And I surrender the sermon into thy hands. O Lord, we pray that you move in the midst of us, speak to our hearts, that we may know you more, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, to know Christ in your word, to live a life that you will come and say, my servant, my faithful servant, I am pleased in thy life. O Lord, we ask in a mighty name, the name above all names, the Holy One of Israel, the Mighty One of Israel, the name before all the souls, they shall bow their knees and the tongues will confess that Jesus is the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray, O Lord, may you give thy Holy Spirit to all of us so that we may live a life that is worthy of thy calling. We surrender everything into thy hands. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen. God bless you all, dear brethren. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank the Lord for this beautiful day, because we came and we are blessed. Amen. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that is this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Mark chapter 12, verse 29. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than this.'" Blessed be the name of the Lord. By God's grace, today we shall start the sermon from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There are three words, important words, in the verse that we read, 23. Spirit, soul, body. That was the epistle wrote by an apostle sent to the churches. And the chapter ends by saying that may the grace of God be with you. So grace the Lord has given us. When the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for thee," the Lord says, "You will lack nothing in your journey, that you may be able to complain that I lack this." Because it is the word of the Lord, and the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Spirit, soul, body was mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In Mark, when Jesus said in chapter 12, he said, "Love thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Amen. So if we compare these two verses, the word of the Lord, the only word that is common for the outward appearance is soul. Because in 1 Thessalonians, it talks about spirit, soul, body. In Mark chapter 12, it talks about heart, soul, mind. Amen? So for the outward appearance, the only word that may seem to be similar, identical, is soul. Heart is replaced by spirit in 1 Thessalonians. Mind is replaced by body in 1 Thessalonians. But in the gospel, when Jesus was speaking to the people, he says heart, soul, mind. But the apostle, when he spoke to the churches, he says spirit, soul, body. Is there any change in sequence? Would there be any change in sequence when the Lord is speaking to his children? No. Soul is always in the center of two other words. In the Great Commission, the word says spirit, soul, body. Before the Great Commission began, when the Lord was preaching to the people and even teaching the disciples, he says heart, soul, and mind. But in both the words, if we look across the bridge before the resurrection and after the resurrection, on one side we have soul is shielded by other two other words, heart and mind. On the other side, the same soul is sealed by two other words, spirit and body. Amen. So now, by God's grace, last Sunday we received the sermon on 3,000 people who were killed by the sword when Moses was standing at the entrance of the gate, ordering the Levites who came to his side, when he said, "Thus saith the Lord," in the spirit of the Lord he was speaking, he told them, "Those who are with the Lord, come to this side." Then after they gathered, they were in one accord, one mind, because we read the word, those who were together with Moses, who believed the Lord is with him, they always had all things in common, as we read in the book of Acts. Amen. after they assembled, then there was a process of cleaning, gleaning, purging, pruning, washing in the camp, in and out. But what was used? Sword or physical weapons. By whom? The flesh, which was standing in the gap for the Lord who is Spirit. But in the New Testament, when Apostle Peter came, he also came with an army of apostles who had one mind, one accord, togetherness by unity of faith. But this time, Apostle Peter, he came with a sword that was invisible. He came with a mighty sword that cannot be seen by the outward appearance of this carnal world. People didn't see that coming, that Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, he came with a sword, a mighty sword, a double-edged sword, which kills that flesh on the same day, because we receive now, today, on the same day, they gladly received the word because they were cut to the heart, and 3,000 souls were baptized because they accepted Jesus Christ gladly, not by fear of punishment, not by the following other people what they are doing, but because they were cut to the heart. Because of that, they were able to receive the word gladly and they got baptized. Amen. We die to sin because we are called to live in His word. Amen. Annulled from death, our agreement with hell was broken, and we are all called because He has given us the atonement, only sacrifice, only offering, and we are all atoned to life. So when we talk about, when we say, Lord, thank you, Lord, that you reveal your truth to all of us, you are telling the Lord, thank you, Lord, that you put your word inside me. Amen. If the Lord does not put His word inside you, you cannot receive the truth. Amen. Do not try to escape the reality that the Lord revealed the truth from far away, and you will just listen to the Lord, worship the Lord, pray to the Lord, praise the Lord from far distance. But we can still walk into the promised land. It will never ever work like that. When the Lord says, I reveal my truth to you, the Lord says, I reveal myself to you, and the only way it can happen is when you receive the Comforter, Holy Ghost, who will break the bread of life for you. Because Jesus said that we will all be baptized by the Spirit and fire. Because when we are immersed in the water, we are washed in our sin, we die to our sin, and when we come out, we are born again. So the Lord calls all of us, you are all spiritually born as new babies. And He wants all of us to grow. So all the patriarchs in the Old Testament, they were giving birth to create a nation of physical bodies, a massive multitude. In the New Testament, the 12 apostles, they started a spiritual journey, and they were giving birth, spiritual birth, to the children of God who were separated from darkness and from the death to live in the Lord's word. 12 patriarchs and 12 apostles. Two different exodus, but it's all converging into one, reconciliation. Then Apostle Peter was able to do something by being the empty vessel of God. Think about the life of Simon Peter ever since he denied Christ 3 times. How many times? 3 times. Amen. And the Lord says, preserve your spirit, your soul, and your body blameless. How many words are there? 3. Spirit, soul, body. When Peter was given 3 chances to recover from the warning, and the Lord said, I have prayed for thee. I have prayed for your faith, but he still said, you will deny me 3 times. Can Peter say, if the Lord did not speak the word that I will deny him 3 times, I would have denied, because he spoke the word and the word came to pass. Can Peter put everything back on the Lord? Can Peter play with the word of the Lord? He will be burned to death. Peter knew exactly what was the Lord was warning him on that very particular moment. And the Lord was telling Peter, you are stubborn, you are rebellious, you are holding on to your own pride, which is you think you are someone, you think you are going to do something. But let me tell you, I prayed for that faith, I prayed for you, that you will do great work for me. Later, not now, because you are going to deny me three times, because the Lord wanted the contrite spirit, the broken heart, so that Peter can be drawn closer to the Lord. And Peter made a mistake, and he realized it only after he denied Christ three times, after the Lord died for his sin, your sin, my sin, all our sins. And when the heart is cut, then there is revival. There is no revival if our heart is not cut by the double-edged sword. When we ask the Lord, Lord, give me the revival, the Lord will be looking at all of us, where is repentance? And we may say, Lord, what I did wrong, why should I repent? Are we sure? Are we born righteous? Are we born holy? All have sinned. We are short of the glory of the Lord. That is the reality. Every single day. It's not a past because we all got baptized. It will never be a past just because we are coming to the church. It is the reality. Every single day is always there. Every single day when we get up, the Lord says, today I place a blessing and curse. Choose what you want. That is the double-edged sword. Because the way Peter spoke, it is the same way that if another servant of God spoke. But that time, people were still cut to the heart. But instead of accepting the word of the Lord gladly, rather that time, they jumped on him and they killed him. Stephen was killed by the people to whom he was speaking. Peter was accepted by the people to whom he was speaking. If you remember, they were speaking exactly the same. No difference. But one was stoned to death, whereas another 3,000 souls were baptized. Same double-edged sword, same empty vessels, same servants, same spirit, same Lord. But this time, people were cut to the heart, but to the heart to the extent that they took the side of death instead of leaning to the side of life. So what they did, they became murderers. Just because Stephen used the word, I see Jesus is standing at the right hand of God, they couldn't take it and they took him away of the city and stoned him to death. We will go there. But when Peter was speaking, it could have happened the same to him. Because he was rebuking them the same way Stephen was rebuking them. If you meditate, Stephen's words were more polite and kind compared to how Peter was speaking. Peter stayed alive at that point of time. He was killed later, but Stephen was killed on the spot. What is a double-edged sword to you and me? How we see the double-edged sword in our life? Can we say, Lord, I'm going to use your name to justify my life forever? The Lord told me, the Lord told me, the Lord told me, the Lord did this, the Lord did that. And I saw from His word, I am right. And the Lord did this. Every time we say, the Lord told me to do this, remember, we are using the name of the Lord, the Almighty, the great God of heaven, the eternal Holy Spirit, Elohim, the fullness of God that dwells in the complete manifestation of God's word, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the only way, the truth and the life, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the faithful and true witness, the Alpha and Omega, who is the same yesterday, today and forever, and who will come back to rule all of us. We call that name when we say, the Lord told me, and the Lord wants all of us to be very careful, because He defended Job to the enemy and He said, my servant Job is very humble, he's a righteous man. He said that, right? But when the enemy was disturbing Job, the Lord went to Job, be a man. I am going to inquire you. I am going to ask you questions. Answer me as a man. If the Lord go to the extent to tell the same word twice to Job, be a man. What He says, be the creation of yourself, how I created you. In my image, in my likeness. Now I am going to ask you and you are going to answer me. The Lord says all of us, He will ask us everything that we say in His name. Everything that we do by showing His word. Everything that we speak, think in His sanctuary. He will come and ask us, be a man, be a woman, be a child, Now I am going to ask you and you are going to answer me. When the Lord inquires us, the double-edged sword will cut to our heart. If we bow our heads, humble ourselves, say, Lord, I repent, I am nothing. May you give me the heart of pure understanding of me, part of thy word. When we lean to his side, the same way 3,000 people were baptized when Peter spoke, they found life. It was bitter to the ears, but it was sweet to the stomach. Because when the Lord told Ezekiel, he said, eat this scroll. When he eat full, we read his stomach was full. Because of that, there was sweetness in his lips. He was ready to preach the gospel of peace. But the same vessel, Stephen, when he was speaking, people were cut to the heart. But instead of leaning towards the Lord's side, life, they hold on to the stubbornness and the Lord break them by allowing them to murder his one servant. It is even more worse rather than being the victim. Because when Moses was ordering the death of 3,000 people, we may see it as the death of 3,000 different souls. But actually, what is the truth? God sees his camp as one body of Christ. Amen? We are all called to be one body of Christ. There are no two body of Christ. Throughout the world, spiritually, we are one new holy city, Jerusalem. And the Lord is measuring us by length and width and breadth. And he looks at all of us as one divine body of Christ. Amen? When the Lord prunes the branches, when the Lord purges, when the Lord removes them flesh and carnal, to our outward appearance, we may think people are dying. But the Lord will look at things in a different way. He is keeping his garden clean, holy, for him to dwell. When sin entered the Garden of Eden, the first thing happened was Adam and Eve, they were cast away from the garden. Isn't it? They were thrown out. When Miriam was speaking bad against Moses, she was inside the camp. But what God did? Throw her out. She was outside the camp until the Lord put her back in the camp. So now today, by the grace of God, we will continue from where Peter left with those 3,000 souls who were baptized by the grace of God. But he did one miracle only after the baptism of 3,000 souls. Amen? He did a miracle. No miracle is a coincidence in the way the Lord is dealing with his children. Amen? Amen. What was the first miracle that Peter did? Healing the lame to walk. Amen? Healing the lame to walk. That was the first sign and wonder Peter did. But the 3,000 souls who accepted Christ, they didn't see that. But before seeing anything, they accepted Christ. Are they blessed?
Amen.
They are all blessed. Amen?
Amen?
They believe without seeing anything, but only hearing.
Amen.
But it is not applicable for all because God is dealing with everyone in a different way. Depends on what level of darkness we are in, what level of faith we have grown up to. And the Lord is gracious and merciful to us. So He speaks in parables. He speaks plainly. He speaks in secret. He does miracles. Sometimes he just wonders, he punished people, he sent wrath, he sends plague. He deals with his children in a different ways. But he knows which way will have its own way to cut to the heart. For some, it needs a physical miracle. For some, chastening by the word. For some, just by observing what's going on around. The Lord is dealing with all of us in unique ways. Let's go to the book of Acts. Verse 37 to verse 10.
Chapter 3, verse 10. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of the prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John and Peter, said, "Look at us." And so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk."
Amen.
And he took up, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And so, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
Amen. Let's start from where we learned the three words. So in 1 Thessalonians, we read the three words: spirit, soul, and body. But when Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, chapter 5, start from heart, soul, mind. Amen? That's what we read, right? Two different chapters, two different times. Word of the Lord, Spirit of the Lord, but before death and resurrection, after death and resurrection. Amen? Spirit, soul, body, and heart, soul, mind. Now, when Peter spoke the word, we heard the word from the word of the Lord. People were cut to the heart. Amen? They were cut to the heart. And they gladly received the word and they got baptized. When Moses was speaking to the people, he gave an open invitation. Amen? He told very clearly, in the spirit of the Lord, "Thus saith the Lord, those who are on the Lord's side, come to this side." He gave an open invitation before he ordered the cleaning process. Before the Lord started working in the camp, Moses gave an open invitation to bring those who are willing to come to the Lord's side. One last chance before the sword was put into work. That sword made people to die physically. They were killed. When Apostle Peter spoke the word, people also died. But we read, they were baptized. Why we take this as assurance? Because the word says 3,000 souls were added to them. Because of that, we believe that the Lord had brought those souls to him. Moses stood at the entrance of the camp when he was speaking. Amen. The Lord told the apostles, "You will be a witness to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, in all the corners of the earth." The apostles began the journey from where? From Jerusalem. They returned from the mount. They had a prayer. And they were blessed by the Holy Ghost, full of Holy Ghost. And when Apostle Peter spoke after what? After he received the utterance. Amen? But when Peter had this utterance, what is the spiritual understanding of we read utterance? It's stand up. Amen? Remember when Moses was waiting with the flock before the Lord called him to near the mountain of God, when he spoke to him through the burning bush, we read Moses was actually sat upon taking care of the flock. The same Moses, when he went to protect the 7 daughters of Jethro to feed water to the flocks, we read he stood up. He stood up to go and do something so that as a shepherd he can water the flock. Amen. So now Peter stood up and he received the utterance of the Spirit and he spoke and people received him. Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 5 verse 8. John chapter 5 verse 8. When Jesus performed a healing to make the people to see what he is doing, and he made someone to walk. Amen? But let's read from verse 1 how it happened, where it happened, and what are the words spoken by our Lord. Chapter 5 verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Amen? Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Amen? Waiting for the moving of the water.
Amen.
When you see this word, you should remember Genesis chapter 1, the Spirit was hovering on the water.
Amen.
Verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. What? Trouble the water.
Yes.
Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23. What is the word we read before these 3 words were introduced? Be whole. Amen. Whole always comprises of these 3 things from the sight of the Lord. Spirit, soul, body. Amen? Read this again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Read this again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's read this again. Verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Amen? Whole. God's creation is always whole. And that is the perfection we are moving towards to. Amen? When the Lord says whole, it means whole. 100%. Nothing less, nothing more. When Jesus went to Jerusalem, in John chapter 5, as we read, when the angel came into a season and disturbed or troubled the water, what we read? We read the verse. As whole, chapter 5, John chapter 5 verse, let's read this, chapter 5 verse 3. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And the word says impotent. Impotent is exactly the opposite of whole. Amen? Something is missing. Something is not functioning. Something is not complete. Spiritually, from the eyes of the Lord, when we say, Lord, clothe me with the garment of salvation as a good bride, and we say, Lord, make me whole. If we have blame, spot on our spiritual body, our spiritual life, and the Lord, when the Lord says, you are not whole. Amen? And that perfection we are going through, and the Lord is teaching us, guiding us. When Jesus went up to Jerusalem, the word we read in verse 4, "For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had." Amen. From the outward appearance of the whole world, people who were there at the time, for them, being whole from whatsoever disease means disease of this body, of whatever we lack in this physical body. But let's put ourselves as the bread of Christ. And the Lord says, whatsoever sickness we have, and the Lord says, I will make you whole, that is never about the body alone. Amen? It's always about spirit, soul, body. Because the word is very clear, be preserved and be blameless for the Lord's coming. Now, let's see what Jesus did and how he did and the words he spoke. Because the first miracle Peter performed was healing a lame to walk again. Let's focus on verse 5. "And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in the case, he said unto him," look at the question very carefully, what Jesus asked him and how Jesus asked him. Remember when he went to Bethsaida and when he was healing the blind to be able to see, he asked them, "What is that to you want?" Correct? He asked them very, he knows what they are short of. But he asked them, "What is that you want?" But now he is asking him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" What a beautiful question from the Lord, which also serves as a calling to all of us. When he calls all of us, do you want to be whole? He says, do you want to be whole? When the Lord speaks, whole means whole.
Amen.
Spirit, soul, body. But for those people, not everybody understood the parable, isn't it? Why? They have not received the Holy Ghost. They have not been revealed to the truth. It is like Prophet Samuel. The Bible says, Samuel, he did not know the Lord yet because the word was not revealed to him. Amen? That's it. Nobody can learn the Lord. Nobody can know the Lord by reading or by listening. Only the Lord can reveal himself to you because we belong to him. And this may be seen as a physical miracle, as all the denominations, prosperity Christians, all those churches of this world, as they proclaim the gospel, you will be healed, you will be rich, you will be whole. What whole you are talking about? How can we be whole when we worship an idol? How can we be whole when people follow their own understanding? How can we be whole when we want to be ourselves? The Lord says, spirit, soul, body is whole to him.
Amen.
If we belong to him, if the Lord says, do you want to be whole? He's asking, are you willing to be perfected by me?
Amen.
Can we be whole just like that? If that's so, then why? What is the purpose of Great Commission? Why the journey is still going on for the past 2000 years? What I'm saying is seven church ages. The spiritual exercise that we are all embarking on. When Jesus said, will thou be made whole? That question is for us every single day. Today, do you want to be whole? The Lord is asking us. Today. Because today is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
And how can we be glad in it if the Lord cannot see that we are whole? How can we rejoice if we ourselves are not whole? Then what is that rejoice? Whom it belongs to? There are two different joy, my brethren. There are two different peace, two different rejoice. Everything we read in the Bible, there is always another side to it. Something look like it, feel like it, be seen like it, but it is not the one that belongs to the Lord. There are two righteousness, right? The righteousness imputed by the righteous Lord, whose mighty hand is full of righteousness. And there is another righteousness which has a very subtle, deceptive, small, soft-spoken word behind, which is self-righteousness. Self-peace, self-joy, everything is also sitting on the other side of the double-edged sword. everything we see, love, agape love, there is another comfort on another side. Peace, there is another peace. No remorse is also called peace. People are very happy when they have everything. They feel peace. It is not peace. You are happy that you got what you wanted. When the Lord says, my sheep hear my voice, He says, the double-edged sword that I spoke, He cut to the heart, and they gladly received me. Receiving Him is hearing Him. When the Lord says, my sheep hear my voice, He says, He received me. Not heard me. Not I heard some noise. The word went inside me. It started working in me, in you, in all of us right now, every day. When Jesus said, do you want to be whole? But what the other person would think, those who are sick. Oh, the Lord is thinking, I have some issue with my leg. He is going to heal me. When I am healed, I am whole. No, you are wrong. But it is fine. You are growing. The Lord will teach you step by step. But when Jesus asked, will thou want to be whole? He won't ask the question partially. He is always complete. When the Almighty speaks to all of us through the Spirit of the Lord, it is always complete. But it is revealed to us in bits and pieces as our grace goes abound. You see, whole is mentioned in 1 Thessalonians, an epistle. Whole is mentioned before the Great Commission started, when Jesus said, do you want to be whole? Now let's continue. Verse 7. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. He is speaking, there is a race going on, sir. I want to go into the pool, but someone can run faster than me and they step into the pool. And there is also no one to carry me to go to take me into the pool. But what Jesus asked, do you want to be whole? But what he is talking about, he is focusing on the very last part of the three important aspects of our spiritual life. What is the last part? Our body, right? It's not the first one. When the Lord establishes an order, when He speaks, there is always a reason why He sets an order. The very first apostle who performed miracle was Peter. The very first apostle who baptized 3,000 was Peter. And the very first disciple who denied Christ 3 times was Peter. 3 times. Those 3 times in Revelation we read, woe, woe, woe unto you earth. And the Lord says, let all earth fear the Lord. Amen? When the Lord says, woe, if you deny Christ in your spirit, woe unto you. If you deny Christ in your soul, woe unto you. If you deny Christ in your body, woe unto you. Woe, woe, woe. But what the Lord says, be holy, for I am holy, right? When the elders and when the four beasts, when they cry unto the Lord in His sanctuary, what they say? Holy, holy, holy. 3 times. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and all earth will be filled by His glory. When the Lord says, glorious Jesus Christ, when He says, I will give you a glorious body, a celestial one, I will give you the crown of life, can we say the Lord is going to take body away from us, or soul away from us, spirit away from us? The Lord says, preserve it. Preserve these three as whole. Because the Lord says, this is whole to me. Everything else, any other garment that you have, any other sandal that you put, the Lord says, it is not part of my list. The checklist is plain and simple. Spirit, soul, body, that's it. Three. But what happened to the denominations? They could not understand these three as whole, but rather they made 3 different gods. Or 2 different gods. Or n number of gods. The whole world, they worship millions of golden calves wherever they are. Even if it is not physical, you can even build your own spiritual golden calf. One understanding is idol worship, as the Lord spoke. When the Lord says, do you want to be whole? And He replies, complains. You know, I want to be, but you know, someone runs before me and nobody is there to carry me. What the Lord said? Carry your cross. He said, right? If you want to follow me, deny thyself. Step 1. Carry your cross. Step 2. And follow me. Step 3. And what He said in Luke? Today. Every day. Amen? Now, let's continue how Jesus answered to the little child. See, when a baby is born, can the baby walk? The baby has no strength in the knees, no strength in the bone. It needs to learn how to walk. It needs to grow, needs to eat. until it grows to a stage whereby it cannot walk. We have many children here, including Elizabeth, Joshua, Hazel, even Elijah, Adam, when they were small. We saw them crawling on the floor. Now they are walking, they are running. We can't catch them. That is physical. Who cares about outward appearance? But the Lord, when the Lord says, oh, you can't walk because spiritually you are lame. Spiritually your knees are broken. Spiritually I can't see your legs. What happened to you? The Lord says, I will make you whole. Are you willing to be? And when the impotent man answered him, when you see verse 7, impotent man, you should remember what happened to Miriam. When the Lord says, you will be a leper 7 days out of the camp, she became impotent that she could not stay inside the camp of God. Until the time comes, your impotency will stay with you. When it is taken from you, you will be put back into where you belong. When the Lord says spiritually He is perfecting us, our impotency in our spiritual life, in our life of our soul, our body as whole, as the Lord sees us as one single earth, which has all these three components inside, He sees us, you are impotent in this, I am perfecting you in this. He says, are you willing to be whole? That question is asking all of us, it is our responsibility to choose which side we want to be. The side of 3,000 who were devoured by the anger of the Lord, when the Lord told Moses, go down. Or the side of 3,000 who received the word gladly, although Peter was slaying them with the word of the Lord. He was truly slaying them with the word of the Lord. By pieces, he was circumcising them. They couldn't even see. When the Spirit of the Lord works, you cannot see. And the Lord says, no one will live if you see my face. He said that, right? For God is Spirit, we worship Him in Spirit. We are the true worshippers of God. Now, when we talk about this word whole, see what Jesus said. Verse 8. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Why Jesus told him to carry the bed if he is already walking? Why Jesus told him to take up your bed and walk? He could simply say, rise and walk, right? Why do you need a bed if you are not lame anymore? Why do you need a bed if you don't need something to stay forever on the ground? The Lord wants you to remind who you are, where you are from. The Lord wants all of us to remember how gracious, how merciful He is to us. Never forget the grace that you received. Never forget how merciful the Lord was to you. And the Lord is to you. And the Lord is going to be you. But that is in our hands. Because He asked, are you willing to be whole? If He say no, then there is no story. End of story. But that important man, he found grace and mercy from the Lord's side. Why? Because the Lord knows he has no comforter. He has no truth. He has no revelation. So he is speaking like a baby crying. Same way Moses was crying. Moses was impotent near the mountain of God. Simon Peter was impotent when he denied Christ thrice. Everything we do against God, we are impotent in the sight of the Lord. There is no other way around it. We cannot say, I'm growing. The Lord will take care of me. I'm growing. Doesn't work like that. Repentance comes first before revival kicks in. Without repentance, there is no salvation. Salvation cannot be understood, cannot be bought, cannot be received unless if there is no repentance. The Lord is close to contrite spirit, broken heart. When the important man says something for the Lord, our Savior, he will see differently, right? He will say, okay, my child is crawling on the floor. You think you are grown up, you are adult, you are someone you are not. You think you only have the problem of knees or something in your body. You can't speak, you can't see. But the Lord says to me, you are a newborn child crawling on the floor. And the Lord says, rise, stand up, take your bed and walk. Did he say run? Did he say sit? Did he say do whatever you want? Did he say go thy way? He said walk. Amen. Enoch walked with God. Amen?
Amen?
God was having fellowship with Adam in the garden. Amen?
Amen?
He is having fellowship with all of us right now. Amen?
Amen.
It is called walking. Fellowshipping with the saints of God, it is walking with the Lord.
Amen.
Praying together, it is walking with the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Surrendering ourselves to God's perfect will to be in our life, walking with God.
Amen.
being important is forsaking the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Denying Christ. Now, when an important man said something that is not knowledgeable, but you know what? To the sight of the Lord, he was wise to receive what the Lord offered him.
Amen.
What we think? He has no wisdom, he has no knowledge. But to the Lord, he was wise. To the Lord, he had the knowledge to receive the blessing that was placed for him on that very particular day. And he took it. He grabbed it by both his hands, by humbling himself, by putting himself down. He didn't say, how can I trust you? How can I know that you will heal me? Or how can I... He didn't say anything. He simply said, I am impotent. I need someone to carry me. He declared, I need someone to carry me to go to the pool. Always someone run before me and finish the race. He says, I'm blind, I cannot see, I'm not just lame, I also cannot see, I also cannot hear, I also can't understand. He is actually telling the Lord, I'm naked. He is telling the Lord without his knowledge, Lord, I'm naked, I am weak, I don't know anything. He even calls the Lord, Sir, is it?
Yes.
What do you read in New King James Version? New King James Version, what is the same verse? Same verse, verse 7.
The sick man answered him, Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before.
Amen. In New King James, in all the translations, the word important is called what? Sick. Sickness. Amen? Sickness. We are always troubled by the sickness of body, isn't it? Because that is our cross. Most of the people in the world who deny the Lord, who forsake the Lord because of their sickness here, or sickness in the mind, or sickness in the understanding, or because of their own self-righteousness, or want to do something against the Lord, three different sickness from your spirit, from your soul, from your body, those sicknesses take us away from the Lord. Amen? But the Lord says, it is all importancy to me. You are sick as whole. No matter which layer you are sick. For the Lord says, you are not whole. All of us, we are being perfected. Never ever think you are perfect. You are being perfected. The day when we think I am perfect, you go one step before the ark. Lord, what are you doing? I'm faster than you. We are being perfect by the perfect will of God. It is a process, it is a journey. Only the Lord knows when it ends. Only the Lord knows when it is complete. You never know. Because the task was from Him, assignment was from Him, the measurement was from Him, the requirements were from Him, everything is from Him. He is the one who sees what is the length and breadth and width of the new holy city, Jerusalem. He only knows whether the fish is ready to be caught. When he casts down the nets, he measures all of us according to what he gave to us, isn't it? He's not looking for the same shape, same tree. In his garden, it's a beautiful garden of different trees, different flowers, different fruits, but it all has one single life. When Jesus told this to the impotent sick man, he says, rise, take up thy bed and walk. What he said to the disciples and people, if you want to follow me, deny thyself, deny yourself, carry your cross, and follow me. Is there any change in the sequence when Jesus told this to sick? Deny yourself, he says, rise. The more and more you are lying on the ground, crawling on the ground, he says, rise, deny yourself. When you deny yourself, I can lift you up. When you deny yourself, I can do my work in you. But deny yourself. Because God cannot do anything against your will. It is against His creation. He can't do it. He said, I created in you in my image, in my likeness. When the Lord surpassed our free will, He is actually compromising the balance of entire thing that we read in the word of the Lord. For Him to work in us, He wants us to deny ourselves. That is the only power He wants us to use. By the free will He gave it to us. Everything else up to Him. When the Lord says to the sick man, right, here He says, deny yourself. Well, here He says, take up thy cross. Here He says, take up thy bed. Here He says, follow me. Here He says, walk. What is the difference? Same. It is always the same. Double-edged sword. How do you see it?
Amen.
Oh, the Lord shouted at me. Oh, the Lord just offended me. Is it? Can the Lord offend His children? The children assumes that I am offended. But the Lord is crying when he punishes you. He is the one who suffers most, not more than you. Those who are parents, those who are husbands, think about that. If the Lord gave you an option, I'm going to send a sickness upon your wife, what he will say? Lord, send it to me. I'm going to take you aside. What is it? Lord, take me. How come? If a creation can have such a selfless love, can have such a contrite heart to go and defend our loved ones, how much more our Almighty, our Lord, our Creator will feel in his heart? After the resurrection, can we say Jesus Christ is just enjoying in the heaven, glorious Christ, seated at the right hand of God, just everything is done? Is he happy? Every day, the way we live can bring happiness to him or grievance to him. We crucify him by our life. Every day. You know why? He reveals the truth to us, still we stab him in the back. But for those who have not received truth, he will see them as a crawling babies. But for those who received everything grown up, but he will see it differently. Why? For the Lord says, I will inquire everyone based on what I gave to them. Amen. When the Lord healed the sick, verse 9 says, and immediately the man was made whole. Amen?
Amen.
But this whole was the whole that man was looking for. The world was seeing for. The man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was what? The Sabbath. What happened after that? Everybody thought, how can you heal someone on a Sabbath day? This day is meant for rest. Outward appearance. Blinded. Completely dumb. Completely mute. Completely deaf. Cannot see anything.
Amen.
But what the Lord is saying, if you want to follow Christ, you are Ark of the Covenant. He is the rest. You follow him. To follow him, what you need to be whole. But what are the three important things the Lord wants us to be remembered? Spirit, soul, body. Today is the day. And Jesus was spiritually demonstrating the entire journey of the Church of Christ for the next seven church ages. But nobody could see. But to put back everything back to where it belongs, the first miracle Peter did was healing the lame. Where the lame was waiting? At the entrance of what? Beautiful gate. Where Moses was standing? At the entrance of what? The camp of God. Amen? Remember, every single word, every single letter counts. When Moses came down, Joshua spoke, Aaron spoke, Moses spoke, Moses stood at the entrance of the camp, then he spoke. Amen? When he spoke, everybody carried their sword. Amen? Simon Peter was not established in the present truth. He was thinking something similar. What happened thousands of years ago? When Jesus said, sell all your garments, take one sword, he said, I have two swords. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, after the finishing prayer, he said, watch and pray, he couldn't do it. But when they came and arrested him, he took a knife and cut off the ear of someone. But what he said, my sheep hear my voice. But physically, Simon went and cut off the ear. But what the Lord says, don't be a stumbling block to someone, amen? Do not be a stumbling block for someone who is going to hear me. But what the Lord said, I would never make you a stumbling block for me to save anyone. He put the head back. Can you or me, do we have the power to prevent a single soul from entering the God's kingdom? Can you? Can anyone in the world, do we think I am the biggest stumbling block that can stop the Lord of Lords, King of Kings? I am going to stop someone from entering into the kingdom of God. Do you have such power? But what the Lord says, when the Lord says, do not be a stumbling block, he wants you, he wants me. Be careful of how you live. Because no matter what you do, nobody is going to stop his work.
Amen.
There is one more stumbling block. Remember?
Amen.
Jesus Christ was compared as stumbling block. But that stumbling block will bring death. Why? He is a double-edged sword, right? When the Lord says, I will place a stumbling block, they can't see my face, they can't see my light, they can't see my truth. Because of that, they will die. The word stumbling block has two major meanings. One, the Lord says, I am the precious chief cornerstone, the lively stone. Because of that, you are also called lively stone. Amen? The royal priesthood, spiritual priesthood built upon the foundation of God. When the Lord says, he himself is seen as the stumbling block, On the other side, we say a solid rock, fountain of life that gives me life. On the other side, the same rock is seen as a big stumbling block for all those who are against God. They die because of the very same solid rock by which you and me live. They die because of the very same double-edged sword because of which you and me live.
Amen.
Life and death is all in Him.
Amen.
Solid rock, stumbling block. Whenever we think about this, let's remember prayerfully how we understand the word of the Lord. No one can be a stumbling block in God's work. He says, do not be a stumbling block for your own salvation. Because nobody can stop Him. There is no one in this world who can stop the word of the Lord, who can stop the work of God. The Lord says, you have the power to decide not to be what? Whole. When He said the sick man, do you want to be whole? He could have simply healed him, but did he? He cannot. Why? He wants the acknowledgement and acceptance and willingness from you to take that one very simple step. Only then He can draw you closer to Him. But that very step must come from you. Must come from me. Must come from all of us. That was the question He asked him. Do you want to be whole? He knows that he won't answer to the fullest of the question. But all he wanted was the 0.001% sign of leaning towards his side. He just simply leaned to his side. He took him. You don't need knowledge. You don't need learning. Too much things that you have in your brain to know Christ. The Lord says, love with all your heart. He didn't say all your mind. First start from your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaker, you save your soul by your confession of your mouth.
Amen.
Because you save your soul, you will have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Not your mind, not my mind. He said, your mind will be perfected to have the mind of Christ. How He thinks, how He speaks, how He do things.
Amen.
Not your mind, not my mind.
Amen.
When Jesus said that, He immediately, the man was made whole, took up the bed and walked. Whatever He said happened, because He spoke the word. Amen? But can the man say, I am whole, I will enter into God's kingdom? No. The whole that God said was complete, but the whole that he perceived was the healing of his leg. It doesn't matter if he did not accept Christ as his master, savior, if he did not surrender himself to be whole in the first two, he would never walk into the kingdom of God. That healing will be nothing but vanity. Same as that woman who touched the tip of the garment, she was healed. But that healing is still vanity if she is satisfied with her body. If she don't look up to the other two, spirit and soul. If she is contented with the body healing, she will live and die. She may think, you know, I was healed by the Lord. But she will never walk into the promised land.
Amen.
It's all a simple beginning. Physical healing is nothing compared to spiritual healing.
Amen.
It's true. It is the truth. Physical healing, it is nothing as we until you know the love of God. You know nothing. The love of God is always sheath at the top layer, heart, your spirit. Spirit is on par with the heart because the Lord says, I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit in you. What is the difference? Same. When the Lord says, I will put my spirit in you, He says, I will give you a new heart.
Amen.
Now let's continue. Verse 11, He answered them, He that made me whole, same said unto me, take up thy word and walk. Why? This man is speaking to Jews of what happened to him. He is testifying. He is preaching the gospel of peace without his knowledge. For him, it's all about the healing. The Lord makes testimonies elsewhere. The testimonies is also growing. We are all testimonies of the Lord. Amen? We are all growing. But verse 10, you see, the Jews therefore said unto him, that was cured. It is a Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Being lawful. Comparing everything in the equation. Putting your mind into work. It is not lawful, you know. The Lord called all of us to be full of love, not full of law. Jews were blinder. They were sicker than the man who was lame. They were impotent than the one who was impotent. But what he replied? He that made me whole, amen? He that made me whole said unto me, take up thy bread and walk. He that made me whole told me, take up your cross and follow me. He that made me whole by revealing his truth to me, told me, take up your cross, deny yourself and follow me. Then verse 12, then they asked him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk. They could not see anything. They could not understand anything. It can happen even in the seventh church age.
Amen.
Verse 12, and he that was healed was not who it was. He didn't even know who it was from whom he received the healing. Read this very carefully. Verse 13, it says, he that was healed did not know who it was. He did not even know who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. When the Lord said, not everyone says, Lord, Lord,
amen,
can enter the kingdom of God. Not everyone. You can say 1,000 things you want, but the truth is, you never know Christ. He was healed, but he was healed. He was walking, but he didn't even know who healed him. But he was healed.
Amen.
He tells them, I don't know who he is, because Jesus conveyed himself away, and multitude being in that place. But that person who was healed, he still has a chance until he breathes. My brethren, every day we breathe. It is a grace for you and me.
Amen.
We have less time to do what is right, to do what is good, to repent and return unto him. If we think we have time, remember, grace is not common for all. It is one-to-one specific. That is why people die and live in different times. I can only do so much until I breathe, until I speak. If the Lord demand my life tonight, whatever I plan tomorrow, the plan will remain, but I don't there. I'm not there. The plans are there, but I don't exist.
Amen.
Now, verse 14, after what Jesus findeth him in the temple, you see how beautiful it is. He was telling Jews, he healed me, I walk. Jews gave him a revelation, do you know who he is? And he tells them, oh, I don't know. He left. After 14 says, after what Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord comes back and tells him, are you okay? You are looking for me because my enemy come and told you about me. He perfects everyone at the same time. That man who was healed received a question, who he is, just because the Jews asked him. In your persecution, in your suffering, you glorify the Lord. Because you are growing. When people persecute you, they are not persecuting you. They are training you to be even more stronger and wiser. If the Jews did not ask him a question, he would have gone his way. But because he asked him, he thought, oh yes, I don't know who he is. Then next verse, afterward, who findeth who? Read that again. Who findeth who? Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest worse thing come unto thee. Sin no more. If the person was looking only for the healing of body, why the Lord says, sin no more, lest worse thing come unto you? Why? Why the Lord says, worse thing come unto you? Then he would say, Lord, I was happy on my bed, knowing nothing, being ignorant of everything. It is even worse what he said. You heal me, now you are telling me, if I sin, worse thing will happen to me. Lord, I would prefer being a lame. I would prefer plodding child. Arise. Which one is better? Live peacefully and die, go to hell. Live with sufferings and go to heaven.
Amen.
Our life on this earth, 60 years, 70 years, it is nothing but a single second in the sight of the Lord.
Amen.
And Jesus said, he revealed himself to the next stage. He said, do you want to be whole? He said, yes, heal my leg. Receive the healing. He was walking. Enemies asked him, who healed you? Oh, I don't know. Then Jesus find him in the temple. He didn't find him on the road. Where he found him? Where he found him? In the temple.
Amen.
Which means where this man was waiting for. In the temple. Can Jesus meet me in temple if I roam around somewhere? When the Lord says things, it should always cut to our heart.
Amen.
Because we are growing. Verse 15. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. My brethren, verse 15 is where his testimony becomes whole. Until you know his name, until you go and glorify his name, your testimony is nothing. Your testimony is not whole. Not whole is nothing in the eyes of the Lord. You can say, Lord, 98% they testified. Are you not happy with me 2%? The Lord says, yes. Whole means whole. Verse 15 is where he testified. How he testified? The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus. This time, he is not carrying his bed. He is carrying his own cross.
Amen. Amen.
He goes to the Jews. Remember, the man departed. He wasn't waiting for the Jews to come. Jesus came to him. This man went to Jews. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus came to Peter. Peter went to the disciples. Peter went to the people. Amen?
Amen.
God came to Moses. Moses went down to the people. Amen?
Amen.
Body is moving, right?
Amen.
Vessel is moving. How you can move? If your mind do not tell you, let's take one step up. Spirit, soul, body. Amen?
Amen.
When he said, it was Jesus which had made him whole.
Amen.
He is truly whole. Because the Lord told him, sin no more, lest worse thing come upon you. Still, he perceived the lesson. Still, he went and said, he made me whole. But this time, he is speaking spiritually. But the Jews, okay, we got the answer. You can move now. Now, we'll take the list. So that we will crucify him later. Can we say, Jesus was crucified because of the multitude of testimonies? Yes. He was crucified because of the parable, because of the testimonies, because of the healing. He knew exactly what it would trigger if he do this.
Amen.
He was walking to death, not the death of ever, but the death that he knew he should swallow up. People may think, Jesus was killed. My brethren, he swallowed up death. He killed death.
Amen.
To do that, he needs to open the door of death. So he died, he went down to the Sheol, took the keys. Who killed who? Who killed who? He killed death. That is the truth.
Amen.
Verse 16. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day.
Amen.
Sought to what? Slay him. Men of this world want to slay the double-edged sword. How irony is that? Moses slayed people with a metal sword. Peter slayed people with the spiritual word. And men of world think they will slay who? The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings.
Amen.
Sought to slay him. What sought to slay him? The day when you sought to do something,
Amen.
Take this moment, Isaiah 7:7, it Amen. Shall never come to pass.
Amen.
Esau sought to kill his brother Jacob. Didn't happen. He couldn't kill him. Whoever had purposed evil in their heart, it never ever manifested in the word of the Lord. Cain jumped on Abel and killed him. He didn't even plan to kill him. He had the anger, frustration, vengeance. Just revealed himself who he was. Jumped and killed him. When Jesus said, righteous Abel. By that, Abel earned a name by the Lord himself calling righteous Abel. We all think God imputed his righteousness into Adam, Abraham. But Abel was called righteous by the Lord himself. Because his blood was spilled for being a good man, for sacrificing the best he can. Jesus was inviting people to come and kill him. Come and slay me, come and slay me. I'm going to kill everyone. But because he wanted that to happen. Now you see, 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. When Joseph shared the dream, his brothers hated him even more. They were hating him, they hated him, but when Joseph shared his dream, they hated him even more. Can we say Joseph gave them the fuel to burn the fire even more higher? Yes, but he didn't know that. My brethren, when they sought to kill him, he says, not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Did Jesus ever say that I am equal or I am more powerful than Almighty? He never said that. But what these people are saying, they are actually lying. Correct? They are lying. They are spreading gossips. They are spreading rumors. Now, in this chapter, who remained sick? The one who was rebellious.
Amen.
The one who was with his own understanding. But who was healed? The chapter begins with healed people who are sick. The chapter ends with revealing the nakedness of someone who were not looking for healing with the same group of people.
Amen.
Amen? Gentiles, how we receive the word of the Lord is nothing but grace and mercy. There is no other definition to it.
Amen.
When the Jews remained blinded, remained deaf and mute, there was a man who was healed and he walked away. That man departed and he said, it was Jesus who made me whole. Now go to Acts chapter 3. Keep this in mind. Now let's read. Not any mind. We are seeking the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Acts chapter 3. before the chapter 3 begins, verse 47, remember. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. 3,000 souls are added to them, and the chapter ends by saying the Lord was adding to them daily. Every single day the apostles did something to make the Lord to continue to add souls to them. They are presenting themselves as an empty vessel for God every single day. What does it mean? They were able to deny themselves, they were able to carry their cross, and they were able to follow the Lord. Because of that, they made whole. When you are whole, you become the tabernacle of God.
Amen.
When you are whole, you become the ark where the Lord can bring His Shekinah glory. Speak the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Daily. Daily is a very important word in all our lives. We have no milestone, we have no trophies, we have nothing to boast. We have daily is a gift. Every day is a gift we walk. We forget the past, we move on. Because grace is moving forward. If the Lord wants to turn back, if the grace wants to turn back, if the Lord wants to travel back in time, my brethren, we will perish. The Bible says, the Lord forgets our iniquities. Because of that, you and me exist. We say, Lord, remember not my sins. We say, the Lord remembers what will happen. He is almighty. The fire will depart from His presence, will devour all of us. Every day, we can be the Sodom and Gomorrah, or we can be the new city Jerusalem. We can choose which city we want to be. Now, see what Peter did. Verse 1. Did he go alone, my brethren? Now, Peter and who? John. Peter and John went up to together. Amen. Where there are two or more gathered in my name, I will dwell in the midst of them. Moses, Aaron, Peter, Paul, Peter, John. Moses, Aaron, Joshua. Now we read Peter, John. Peter and John went up to the temple, not just went up to Jerusalem. It clearly says, went up together. Amen?
Amen?
When the children of God together, there is unity. When there is unity, the Lord will do great things.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
No matter how many people are in the church, to God, it doesn't matter. 1,000, 2,000, 50, 20, 30, 5, 10, He will see, are we one?
Amen.
He will see, do we have unity of faith? Do we have the mind of Christ? Are we in one accord? Do we have this togetherness? Do we have all things in common? If not, no matter how small we are, how big we are, the Lord will say, you important. You are not called to me. You are not glorifying my name. My name is profaned here.
Amen.
Togetherness, unity is the beauty of the Lord's church.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Now when Peter and John went up together, where they went up together? To the temple. How Jesus met the lame, He met him in that temple. Who findeth him? Jesus findeth him in the temple. Now, in the place of Jesus, who is going? Peter and John, they are going together. And the Lord says, yes, you are two bodies, but you will be one flesh, one spirit.
Amen.
And these two are going together in the name of the Lord, with the banner of His love. They are going. And a certain man, what we read in John chapter 5, verse 3. And a certain man. Why the Lord says certain? Every time when the Lord says certain man, certain city, certain world, remember, He is actually joking with us. You are uncertain. Whatever you think it is certain, it is uncertain. Vanity. It is certain to you, not certain to me. It is false to you, not to me. He said a certain man, which means a very specific man, who was meant to be there, who was chosen to be there, who was born to be there, who lived his entire life to be there. To be called a certain man. What is his name? Anyone knows what is his name? We don't know what is his name. But what we know, he received his name. Which name? He received the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what is your name. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how big you are in this world. But to God, you are nothing but a certain man sitting in front of the beautiful gate looking for us. Until we receive His name, we are nothing but a certain man. The only name that can live with you forever is not your name. It's the name that you carry.
Amen.
Only with that name you will cross the Jordan.
Amen.
Verse 3. Verse 2. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. It says, He was like this from his mother's womb. All have sinned, and we are short of the glory of the Lord. The Lord says, I know you from when you were in the mother's womb, even before you were born. And here he says, a certain man in the mother's womb, he was like this forever, and the Lord says he was waiting near the gate called Beautiful. Verse 3 says, he saw, who's seeing Peter and John. He didn't see Peter alone. Did he see John alone? The Bible says, Peter and John went up together into the temple, and the man who was like this forever since he was born, he saw Peter and John. Amen? That is why the certain man was there to see Peter and John. That was the only thing that he did in the rest of his life before that. Seeing Peter and John, because he was present at the right moment when the Lord had planned for this great blessing upon him. If he didn't see Peter and John, we won't be reading him in this chapter. He was there every day in that temple near the gate for the rest of his life, waiting for something to the least of his knowledge, healing of his body. But what he had, relentless faith, steadfast, even if it is, you can call it, he had no wisdom, knowledge, it doesn't matter. God does not look for how much you know, how good you are. He looks for how much you yield to him. He looks for how much empty you are. Every time we walk into the door, we should come as an empty pot. We can't carry something in the pot. Lord, I have some beautiful food inside. I have some tasty wine inside. The Lord says, did I ask you? Come empty. Amen. I will pour water. I will pour air. I will pour whatever I want. Come empty. And this man, when he saw Peter and John, you see, and Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John and look on us, my brethren. Read this very carefully. Peter saw that man who was looking at them, right? Do you see the word John removed in verse 3, verse 4? Why the name of John is kind of knitted together with the name of Peter? Because verse 1 says Peter and John went up together. Amen. They can't be separated even by uttering their names. Peter and John, Peter and John, Peter and John. If the Lord is going to come and call all our names, you know how he will call us? He will call every name, say, Sister Zoe, Sister Yuan, Brother Paul, Brother Zoe. He will call every single name and say, you are together as one because I called all of you. It will be keep on going and. Because when the man saw Peter and John together, Peter fastening his eyes upon him with what? With John. He said, Peter and John saw the man, Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John. One accord, one mind, togetherness, had all things in common. Whatever Peter sees, John sees. Whatever Peter listens, John hears. However people see Peter, they see also John. Now, verse 5, verse 4, Peter says, did Peter say, look on me? What Peter says? Look on what?
Amen.
Us. Why Peter says, look on us? Because Peter cannot separate himself from John, even if he wants to. He is not himself. He is not under his control. His mind is not his anymore.
Amen.
When Peter said, look on us, but the Bible says Peter fastened his eyes with John. You see, John becomes kind of one flesh, one body, one spirit. We are witnessing a spiritual demonstration of a body of Christ walking, body of Christ seeing, body of Christ speaking, but they are two, but they are one.
Amen.
Now verse 5 says, and he gave heed unto them. How come this man who was like this from the mother's womb, he heed unto him or them. It says, he heed unto them. Plural maintains, let us create a man in our image. God did not say, let us create a man in my image. He said, let us create a man in our image.
Amen.
Like us. Us.
Amen.
Those who cannot understand Godhead, understand Book of Acts first. The Lord will speak to you. Nobody can teach Godhead other than the Lord himself. Verse 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Amen. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen.
Amen.
Peter and John, they are blessed because they received the Holy Ghost. More blessed. They went to give, not just healing. They are going to do something that is going to trigger certain events after that. And he was willing to receive. Jesus asked the lame, do you want to be whole? Do you want to be made whole? But this man, he heed unto them. By doing so, he already acknowledged, he accepted what is about to happen to him by saying, he heed unto them. My sheep hear my voice, and the Lord said it, when Peter and John go and say something, his sheep will hear his voice. Because it is not Peter and John speaking, it is the Lord himself is speaking through him. Now verse 6, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Today, praise and worship, we had few songs, talks about silver and gold, silver and gold.
Amen.
How the Lord move all of us as one? We praise the Lord.
Amen.
Silver and gold, silver and gold. What is silver and gold to you? Your body, your mind, your attitude, your health, your wealth, who you are in this earth. Peter said, silver and gold, I don't have it. Because all my garments are taken away. I sold everything. Now I have only one sword, one savior,
Amen.
One Lord, one master. I have only that.
Amen.
That only one sword. I have no other garment, no other silver, no other gold. All my golden calves are burned, fed back unto me. Because that golden calf was burned. Moses made a powder, drink with water, ask the people to drink of what you did. Repent.
Amen.
Don't you throw away. Eat it. When the Lord told the watchman Ezekiel, eat this book of straw, Moses told the people, oh, you made the golden calf, fine, burn it, make a powder, mix it with the water, drink it. Eat what you did, take accountability.
Amen.
Take responsibility. There is no revival, there is no repentance.
Amen.
Here, when he said this, silver and gold have I none, he tells him, I don't have anything other than the Lord himself. I have nothing, I'm just nothing but a branch with the wine.
Amen.
So silver and gold, I have none. He said, receive it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Amen.
Jesus told him, rise up, take thy bed and walk. Peter told him, rise up and walk. Why? He already take his bed in his hand when he heed unto them.
Amen.
You see, verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankles, bones received strength. My brethren,
Amen.
I can be speaking here in a wheelchair. But if I present myself as an empty vessel to the Lord, my knees and my feet is standing upright to the sight of the Lord.
Amen.
Two Sundays ago, I was sitting behind Sister Lucy. My spinal disc was actually giving me some pain. So I was sitting. I was praying to the Lord, give me the strength and endurance. Lord, give me strength so that I will go and speak. You know what happened? Sister Lucy was sitting, there was a song going on, she couldn't stand, I was looking at her, I don't know why the Lord opened my eyes to look at her, her body was shaking, she stood up, and she lifted up her left hand, she was lifting up, when she was doing it, I felt her so strong, I felt her so powerful than any of us in the church.
Amen.
I said it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I cried, I received the strength from her. I received the joy from her.
Amen.
She was more knowledgeable, more wise, more strong than anyone in the church.
Amen.
On that moment.
Amen.
I felt the presence of the Lord when she lifted her hands up. What we do? Two strong hands. Hand like this. We can't even lift up our hands. Why? The Lord says, I want to make you whole. Are you ready to be whole?
Amen.
Answer is with us. We can say, Lord, I'm good. I know seven thunders, I know all the revelation, I know what happened to Noah, I know what happened to Garden of Eden. You know, the enemy knows. Whatever you know, the enemy knows. Separate yourself from the knowledge of what the enemy knows already.
Amen.
Know what the Lord wants you to know. Knowing Him is nothing but intimate relationship with Him. Stand firm on the foundation of love and serve Him by your life,
Amen.
Not by your words. You may think that you are spiritually strong, spiritually so powerful. Let me tell you, the Lord will say, you are nothing but important to me.
Amen.
Why? If there is no humility, if there is no humbleness, how can we say, Lord, dwell in my church? We will profane the name of the Lord. Now you see, when Jesus told the sick, he said, walk. But he didn't say, go and tell them, I heal you. Did he say that? Did he say that? Did Jesus tell him, go and tell everyone, I heal you? Did he say that? He didn't say anything. He healed him. He left. Ark of the covenant. Vessel of the Lord. They don't even know what they are doing. When Moses' face was shining, the Bible says, Moses did not know his skin was shining.
Amen.
Nobody in the Bible, they wanted to be someone. Did Moses ask the Lord, I want to be the king of Israel? Did David ask the Lord, I want to be the king? Did Samuel ask the Lord, I want to be a prophet? Did all the servants, whoever you can think of, did Abraham ask the Lord, I want to be the patriarch who will begin the journey? Nobody, not even one in the Bible, who told the Lord, I want to be this, make me this. Zero.
Amen.
Zero. The Lord calleth, the Lord justifieth, and the Lord delivereth.
Amen.
What you should do, tell the Lord, Lord, I am important.
Amen.
I am sick. I am weak. I have diseases. Accept it. Say it. If you don't say it, the Lord will say, you are better than me. You are stronger than me. Is it? Run before the ark. What happened to Uzzah? Uzzah touched the ark. He died.
Amen.
There are two different methods to it. You can take it positively, but the double-edged sword always teaches both. Blessing, curse. There is always a lesson of life in everything what the Lord had done.
Amen.
Continue this. And I want you to focus on this very carefully. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. 8. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. Amen. He leaping up to stood.
Amen.
He was leaping, but he was able to stand up. He leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. My brethren,
Amen.
Jesus findeth him in the temple. Peter and John went up together in the temple, and this man saw them. Peter and John saw them. Peter told them, look upon us. He said, when he told the person, did he say us? Read very carefully. Peter was looking in plural. The man who saw them was seeing them in plural. But when Peter spoke the word, it became singular. Read this again. Silver and gold have I none. Can I carry your cross? Can I carry your cross? Your cross is yours. Your salvation is yours.
Amen.
Your journey is yours. When we are united in spirit, we are together us. But when the Lord comes and inquires us, he will separate you, take you to his room. He will interview you.
Amen.
We cannot say, Lord, he, Lord, she, Lord, this pastor, Lord. God,
Amen.
Speak to me as a man. As a man. He did not tell Job, speak to me as a family. Speak to me as a group of people. He said, be a man. Answer me. But when Peter said, he becomes singular. Why? The Spirit is speaking through him. He said, silver and gold have I none. He says, I have given thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He takes the position of him being a vessel, and the Lord is speaking through him as one. One. There is no plural. Now, I want you to go back to the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 3. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 3. We will continue this, but I pray in Jesus' name, this word, may the Lord help us to receive the word into our heart.
Amen.
Chapter 3, verse 12. I want all of us to stand and read this, please. Let's all stand. Let's all receive the word as the Lord speak to us. Verse 12. You can read together with me. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched me one another, and the noise of the wheels over against him, and a noise of great rushing. And the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to the captivity at Tel Abib that dwelt by the river of Chebar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. Now, continue to read this together with me. Same chapter, read from verse 20. Chapter 3, verse 20, Ezekiel. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, and the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live. Because he is warned, also thou hast delivered thy souls. And the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said to me, Arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. Then I arose, and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river of Chebar, and I fell on my face. Verse 24. Then the Spirit entered into me, and set me upon my feet, and stayed with me, and said unto me, Go, shut thyself within thine house. Read this again. Then the Spirit entered into me, and set me upon my feet, and stayed with me, and said unto me, Go, shut thyself within thine house. You may be all seated.
Amen.
When the Lord spoke to the watchman, we received the word. When the Spirit entered into him, set my feet up. He was lying on the ground. Amen. He fell on his face. He was lying on the ground. When the Spirit entered into him, we read this very carefully. When the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet. Set me upon my feet. When Jesus healed the impotent man, he told him, Arise, take up thy bed, walk. His knees and legs were strengthened. He stand up. He walked physically. But what is the spiritual prefiguration for you and me? When Apostle Peter healed the lame, who was lame from ever since he was born, Apostle Peter said, he took him by his right hand. You know, the right hand is full of righteousness. Right? The mighty hand of God is full of righteousness. When Peter said, I baptize you, I heal you, whenever Peter said, in the name of the Lord, when the Spirit entered into a brother or a sister, then they are healed. What happened? What happened in the book of Acts? The lame was able to stand. He stood, leaping up stood. Then he was walking. What happened after that? Continue the next two verses. Acts chapter 3. We read from verse 9. Verse 8. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. My brethren, why the Lord used the word leaping in verse 8? If he is healed, should he be leaping? If he is fully healed, why he was made to leap? The Lord told him to heal. He was healed. He was walking. Jews saw him, asked him, how you heal? He said, I don't know. Jesus found him. Then he went again. He said, Jesus healed me, who made me whole. But when Peter healed this lame, he was lame. The word is very clear. He was walking, leaping, and praising God. In your weakness, his strength will be glorified.
Amen.
Verse 10, verse 9, I want to write this. Verse 8, if you read the verse, in the temple, he was walking, amen, leaping, praising, amen. This is what we read in verse 8. But how people saw him. Verse 9. What happened to the word leaping? Verse 9, read again. And all the people saw him walking and praising. What happened to the word leaping? Why they could not see him leaping? But he was walking, leaping and praising. But why they could not see him leaping? Verse 10. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him.
Amen.
He was walking, leaping, praising. But when he was testifying in his life, his leaping cannot be seen. People could not see his leaping. They only saw him walking and praising because they were amazed. Your sufferings, my sufferings, our cry, our failures, all our valleys, it is nothing but that leaping. But when the Lord makes you to shine bright as a lighthouse to be a testimony for him, that leaping is invisible to anyone.
Amen.
Nobody can see it. They will only see the Jesus who is in you. It is your evangelism. It is your testimony. It is your preaching. It is your calling to live. And that life speaks louder than what you do. Him leaping was the testimony he gave to the Lord on that day. He could have said, I'm not fully healed. Let me wait. No. He was walking, leaping, praising. Walking, leaping, praising. We are cornered, tortured, but we will never be broken.
Amen.
We are perplexed. We are, our storms hit very hard. Ships are broken. But my brethren, you are hugging the anchor. Nobody can break the anchor.
Amen.
This one, we will continue with the grace of God next week. May the Lord speak to our hearts. Physical healing is always a prefiguration of what the Lord wants you to give you, a healing as a whole.
Amen.
When the Spirit entered into me, it set me upon my feet. Say this and pray in your personal time with the Lord. And may the Lord speak to all of us as we are called to serve Him. Not by being someone we want, by being the very least that He can make us to be.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. Let's all stand. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are weak, but Thou art strong. We are all sick and impotent even in our life every day, O Lord. Because of our own iniquities, our carnal mind, O Lord, whatever things we do, we think against You. O Lord, we pray for Thy grace and mercy. Forgive us, O Lord. Speak to our hearts, cut to our heart, and we are willing to lean to the side of life. O Lord, may You draw us closer to You. And may You make us whole in our spirit, in our soul, in our body. Lord, we are willing. We are willing to surrender to Thee. May You make us whole. So that, O Lord, as a church, as a family of God, as a fellowship, as brethren who dwell in unity, O Lord, help us and bless us that we may continue to serve You exactly the way You want us to be, O Lord. We thank You for everything. We bless Thy holy name. May You bless us with Thy Spirit which enters into us to set our feet upon, to stand firm, to preach the gospel of peace, to walk humbly with You, to follow the ark, not to go before, but follow the ark, O Lord. We thank You for everything. We bless Thy holy name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.